Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, y'all. It's Lark.
And Kim.
From Kudzu Killers. Homicide is sweet tea. And we're pleased to announce our brand new show, Two Chicks and a Crucifix.
We're going to have a good time yakking about paranormal phenomena like ghosts.
And monsters and conspiracy theories.
And Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You know I'm partial to Bigfoot.
Right. Anyway, we hope you come listen to our new paranormal show and have some fun.
In 2021. See, I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Stop it.
You'll be the ghostest with the mostest.
Cut it out.
We love parapsychology and cryptozoology. Y'all, and welcome back to another Forensic Friday episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea. Hope you had a great week. Mine was fair to middling. I had a couple of doctor's appointments, which are always such fun. But we did kick off our second podcast, Two Chicks and a Crucifix, and now we're two episodes in, and we're having a ton of fun, don't you think, Lark?
Well, I'm having fun, and I think Kim's having fun laughing at me.
No.
We're just having
fun in general.
It's fun. And I think if y'all get a little overwhelmed with how heavy our normal stuff can be, then come over and, you know, just have a little fun with us because we laugh a lot more.
And that may be a turnoff to some people, but there are a few of you who like us laughing. So we'll make you laugh too, I hope.
So what have you got for us today, Kim?
Well, today I'm going to talk about a story that was solved recently by using forensic science mostly and some just plain good snooping around. It's a sad story about a man who suffered from mental illness for most of his life and how he'd shut himself off from his family and friends to the extent he felt more comfortable alone.
Aww.
When he left on what I guess could be called a bucket list journey, I'm not sure if he expected the outcome, but once we go over his story, you can tell me what you think.
I promise.
I first saw his story in an article on AdventureJournal.com by Jason Nark last summer. A lone hiker was found dead in his tent with no obvious injuries in Big Cypress National Preserve in Florida, which is between Fort Myers and Miami. I felt sorry for him and for his family, who might never know what happened to him because nobody seemed to know who he was.
That is sad.
When hikers found him on July 23rd, 2018, he was sitting upright, his eyes open but unseeing. His body was emaciated and weighed only 83 pounds at 5'8".
Oh my God. Did he starve to death?
That's the assumption. He had $3,600 in his tent, as well as food and supplies. It didn't make any sense that he'd just starved to death, wasted away, sitting inside his tent. Did he get lost on the trail and couldn't find his way back out, and then became ill and couldn't keep going? Or, you know, what actually happened to this guy?
Wow.
The hikers immediately called 911, and when the sheriff's department arrived, they took note of the very good condition of the body. So he hadn't been dead that long, you know, out in the Florida heat in July.
Right.
Murder didn't make any sense because they had all the cash laying there in a baggie and nobody had touched it. And besides the cash, they found two notebooks full of computer codes.
Oh my.
He didn't have a wallet or identification of any kind, or a cell phone, or even credit cards. How appropriate.
Sorry. You can leave it in there if you want to.
Okay, so there was no easy way of figuring out who this guy was. His autopsy revealed he didn't have any illnesses, no cancer or anything that would cause his death, which is what I kind of thought might have been. He died of weight loss and cachexia, which is basically all your muscles wasting away to nothing.
Oh my God.
He had no tattoos, no dental work. He had perfect teeth. His fingerprints weren't in any national databases. The only thing that he had was a scar on his abdomen. But there were plenty of people who knew him. When pictures came out, he'd met quite a few people on his hike, quite a few fellow hikers during his nearly 1,400-mile journey from New York Nobles Park in Big Cypress. He went along the Appalachian Trail to the Pinati Trail to the Florida Trail. They all knew he'd started in New York because he'd told them that. He told them he was originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and worked in New York City. They called him Mostly Harmless from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because that's one of the trail names he used. Mm-hmm. And he also used the name Ben Billamy when he registered at hostels. And there were lots and lots and lots of photographs of him smiling or pensive, writing in a notebook or whatever. But lots of people got to know him. They said he seemed like a nice guy. He was friendly. They'd shared meals with him, slept at shelters and hostels with him. The last time he was seen by fellow hikers was April 15th, 2018, about 10 miles from where he was eventually found dead 3 months later. Mm. One woman named Obsidian Vickers said she'd hiked with him for over 100 miles down the Appalachian Trail. She said they hiked slowly because both of them had bad knees. She recalled him being very nice, and she said often when you hike alone like that, because she does that a lot, she said you would run across folks who gave off bad vibes, and you wanted to get away from them, but she felt like he was good, and they sat around the campfire talking at night, and Harmless would sit there and scarf down handfuls of M&Ms while they talked.
Oh, my.
So what happened to this man? Why was he dead? For over 2 years, people tried to crack the case of Mostly Harmless. They thought everything from he was someone who found out he was dying, and this was his bucket list, which, like I said, that's kind of what I wondered. That's kind of what I might do. I don't know. But that was ruled out in autopsy. He had no diseases like that. To someone being chased by a bad guy out to get him, and he just kind of disappeared off the grid to get away. Or he was an alien from outer space sent to survey the country. You know, it takes all kinds.
That's a different show, Kim.
Yes. But he was a big lover of sci-fi. He loved Doctor Who and science fiction in general. Mm-hmm. And he had told others about this, which is probably why he used that trail name of Mostly Harmless from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He was mostly harmless, it seemed, because he was just a guy out hiking alone on a mission to go from New York City to the Florida Keys.
That's a long way.
That's a long hike.
Long way.
Hmm. Now, during the 2 years he'd been gone from his home, photographs of Mostly Harmless made their way around the internet. People had Facebook pages dedicated to him. People felt like they knew him. They'd turn in names of people they thought he could be, but none of the leads went anywhere. But there were all those pictures that people had taken of him along the trail. Now, the Collier County Sheriff's Office, that's the county where he was found, started to build a timeline of his travels from the people who'd hiked with him or spoken with him along the way. Then they sent a bone fragment to Othram Laboratories, a genetics lab based in the Woodlands, Texas.
Oh, interesting.
And which is, I think, a little northwest of Houston.
Yeah, it's right outside of Houston. Right?
Mm-hmm. And the lab began working on a DNA profile, and they started searching a database called GEDmatch. From his DNA profile, they could tell he was Cajun.
Oh, cool.
And they could tell he most likely came from people from Assumption Parish in Louisiana. And that's incredible to me that they can pinpoint it to a specific county or parish in Louisiana.
Yeah, how in the world could they figure that out? I mean,
and they knew there were family members related to him who were named Rodriguez. They could find this out, I guess, but with all the databases and everything like that that they have access to, they could figure out that somebody probably did 23andMe or Ancestry.com, and so they pinpointed a name that could be related to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is when the photographs, all those photographs and those notebooks came into play that they'd found with him. In December of this past year, all those photos taken along the trail made their way to some folks who had been co-workers of Mostly Harmless.
Oh, cool.
One in particular had been a roommate as well and had recognized the bits of code from the notebooks that had been published.
Oh, my goodness.
And she recognized his pictures and his handwriting.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
She knew him, and his name was Vance Rodriguez.
There you go. Wow.
And his identity was confirmed when Othram tested his mother's DNA and found a match.
Aw.
They now knew who Mostly Harmless was, but why he was found starved to death in his tent, they didn't know. Now, Vance John Rodriguez was born in February of 1976 near Baton Rouge, like he had told everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There had evidently been some sort of abuse by his father, but I couldn't find any information about that other than he told friends that his father once hurt him deeply.
Aww.
And that scar on his abdomen? When he was 15 years old, Vance had gone to a field and tried to kill himself by shooting himself in the stomach.
Oh my goodness. So it must have been something bad.
There was something bad there. Mm-hmm. And some depression and everything. Mm-hmm. After it happened, he decided he wanted to live and he waved down a passing trucker.
Aw, good.
He had multiple surgeries and lost a lot of blood. And so as a result, he donated blood regularly from then on, in appreciation of all the people who donated blood that he'd received.
Oh, what a good guy.
When he was 17, he became legally emancipated from his parents, and he had nothing to do with them afterward.
Mm-hmm.
A friend, the one who'd identified his coding and photographs, had been roommates with him for several years and said the parents had had him sent to a mental facility after his failed suicide attempt, and he'd never forgiven him for that. So he had no contact with them for years. He attended the University of Louisiana in Lafayette, but he didn't graduate because this guy was a genius level person.
He
was very, very, very intelligent, and he didn't need it, I guess. You know, if you're really good with computers and you're really good with coding, you really don't need to finish your degree. You can get a job pretty much anywhere, right?
Oh, that just bores you. So
yes, exactly.
Why do it?
Mm-hmm. So it didn't really matter. He had mad computer skills and had no problem finding work.
Mm-hmm.
Another roommate said he was very moody and depressed a lot. He'd shut himself off from everyone and everything. Oh. And he said, as far as he knew, he wasn't into nature other than what you could find between the apartment door and his car. So.
Okay. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I know. Your idea of camping is the remote control and the room
service.
The Four
Seasons.
Anyway, they all said he was a nice, quiet guy, except for a former girlfriend who claimed on her Facebook page that he beat her up both physically and emotionally for 5 years until she finally left him.
Wonder if that's true or if she's just bitter, but who knows?
Well, in 2013, he met another woman online, and after a time of talking to each other and meeting off and on, they decided to move together to New York City. She needed to be there for her career in fashion, and he could basically work anywhere. He cut himself off from his family, so he didn't need to stay anywhere specific, and he could work from anywhere.
Right.
And she says at first he was romantic and sweet, but then he began to withdraw into himself. He wouldn't talk to her for days. He would lock her out of the house, out of their apartment. And she said it got worse, but she didn't want to go into that.
Uh-oh.
So she left him in the winter of 2016.
Maybe girlfriend number one was on the mini.
Maybe. I mean, you know, if he had some sort of mental illness and he had been abused as a kid, that often is the outcome.
Right.
So that's when things changed for Vance. He'd called an old roommate and told him what was going on. And the friend was worried he'd try to commit suicide. He'd seen him go catatonic before, not speaking, not eating, just laying in bed, not even moving.
Wow, that's a real catatonic.
Yeah, so everyone knew he had some sort of mental illness, but he didn't take medication. Instead, he medicated himself by drinking and eating chocolate.
Ugh.
Hence the M&Ms.
Uh-huh.
It was then that Vance evidently decided to shed his life and become someone else and do something different. And he embarked on this journey in 2017, leaving his credit cards, wallet, and passport, and headed out of New York City on his journey south to the Florida Keys.
That just amazes me. Okay, I'm going to walk across the world.
Well, his rent went unpaid, so his landlord went into his home, and he said everything was there like it always was, food in the cabinets and on the counter, and his wallet and everything, keys and everything there on the table. It's like he just went out for a walk and never came back.
Yeah, he literally just walked away.
He did.
That's crazy. Wow.
His last girlfriend said it was sad he could be so nice to strangers along the trail, but to the people in his life that loved him, he was so abusive. And mental illness, I think, can be that way. Like I said, you can, you know, it sets you in a tailspin. You don't realize what you're doing until it's done.
Right. You're in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And we'll never really know if he went into one of those catatonic states and just sat there and wasted away, or if he really decided to kill himself and starved himself to death, which by all accounts is a pretty painful way to go.
That's my understanding, if you starve to death.
Yeah. But he needed help, and it's a sad ending to a life story that he died alone in a tent in the middle of a forest.
It is.
A swamp.
It is.
But maybe he wanted it that way. I don't know.
Well, it sounded like he made choices, and these are the consequences of his choices. And I don't know. I'm leaning towards this was not a murder.
Oh, no, this was not a murder. There was no sign of any kind of physical abuse or anything happening to him. He just sat there and died. Whether he got sick of something along the trail or not, they couldn't find any sign of anything like that. That's why it's just a puzzle as to why he died.
Well, you never know what demons were in his head and telling, you know, and maybe, like you say, it wasn't necessarily a choice not to eat, but he didn't eat for one reason or the other. We just don't know.
He may have just gone into a very lengthy catatonic state. And by the time that he came out of it, it was just too late. I don't know.
Right. Because it only takes, I don't remember how long, but it only takes so long without water. You can go longer without food, but you just can't have it, you know, can't go out water or liquids.
Right.
So did you find out who claimed him or what happened to him? Did he get buried or?
No, I don't know if he got buried or brought back to his family or not. I didn't find that in any of the things that I was looking at. I know that he was kept for a time in the morgue in a body bag. And I don't know if anyone ever claimed his body or not. If someone out there knows, please let us know on Twitter or Facebook if you know where he went to, where his body went to after that. I would hope that his family claimed him and he's back in Louisiana buried there.
Well, that would be the positive side of it if his family finally did bring him back underneath their wing. And
if he wanted that, yeah. Now, if you know of someone who's suffering from mental illness or if you feel you need help dealing with depression or suicidal thoughts, please reach out by calling 1-800-273-8255 for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, or call 911, or go to your local emergency room. There are people out there to help 24/7, so there's no need to suffer from this alone. There's somebody there to help you.
That's right. And Kim and I personally know because we have both worked with suicide calls for many, many years. So we know there's help if y'all will just be brave enough to ask for it. So, right. Gee, thanks, Kim, for that story.
Yeah, sorry, it's a sad story, but I know there's a lot of interest out there on Mostly Harmless, and I thought if there's someone out there who hadn't heard that he'd been identified, I wanted to let him know that he has.
Well,
Vance
yeah.
Rodriguez.
Absolutely, and there's lots of pictures, and if you want more information, there's loads out there. So,
and there are very good stories online. If you go to Adventure Journal and look up Mostly Harmless, or if you go to Wired.com, they just had an update, I believe, last week on the story about Vance. So you can go read the entire story.
And wouldn't it be awesome if they look in his notebooks and find something really amazing with all his codes? And
it said some of it was about different foods, like nutritional supplements and nutritional foods for hikers that he had some ideas about.
Mm-hmm.
Others were for board games and video games that he was thinking about.
There you go,
seriously.
Kim.
I know, right? So
it's always the brilliant ones that are playing the board games, and that's why Kim plays and I don't. So
yeah, whatever. But it's sad that a lot of times genius level folks have suicidal tendency and mental illness. It's like sometimes it goes hand in hand, which is extremely sad to me.
Yeah. Well, we just wish him well wherever he is, on whichever plane he is on.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys again for being here. Even though it's a little bit of a sad story, thanks for telling it, Kim, because he needs to be remembered.
Sure.
So if y'all want to laugh a little bit more than what we do on our Tuesdays and Fridays here, check us out on Mondays as we
That's
have
right.
a brand new podcast. It's a little more upbeat. Hopefully will make you laugh. It's
fun.
Called fun. Yeah. It's called Two Chicks and a Crucifix. And we talk all things paranormal and phantasmagorical and
lately alien.
aliens. So anyway, hope y'all check us out there and like us and share us and all that stuff right there. And we will see you Monday or Tuesday,
yeah, whatever,
or both. Let's say both.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.